All right, wow. Welcome to No Better Time. I'm Phil Salter, and today's episode was really timely for me. I actually was recorded back on What's the 6th month of the year? I always have to do this in my mind. January, February, March, April, May, June. I have to like count it off. June is the 6th month. So like on June 22nd or something is when this episode was recorded with Ron Aguilar. He's someone that's come up in previous episodes. He's a real estate photographer who gave me some great advice and helped me figure out how to go about outsourcing my editing. But man, over the last few weeks, I've been really overwhelmed with life and it's been kind of hard. Everything in general has just felt like too much. I don't know if you guys go through these periods of time where you feel like, oh, you have all this energy and you feel motivated, everything's really good, and you take on too much, and all of a sudden it kind of catches up with you. So doing real estate photography on the side, doing, you know, kind of my side hustle, having my full-time job, being a parent, trying to find opportunities to have fun, as well as doing this podcast, which I do love, but also can be difficult sometimes because it requires energy and time. And interviewing people is so great. I get so invigorated by the experience of interviewing people. But also when it comes down to going and editing these and getting them out into the world, it can feel really hard. It's like, when do I get a chance to do that? When do I have time to do that? And so I just felt like, oh, I take on too much in general. And I started to realize maybe I want to like quit some things and not do so much. And every time I think maybe I should stop the podcast, somebody, I get feedback or hear my wife saying, hey, someone told me they were listening and they really like it. And I'm like, oh, dang, I like that people get something out of this. Not, I suppose there's some ego in there, but I honestly do believe that I'm doing this at this point. In the beginning, I wanted to try to make this podcast that could become something real because it'd be so validating. But now it's more, I want to create something of value. I always wanted to, but I think more than ever, that's what pushes me, is having really meaningful conversations that have something to learn from me and for others about the mindset around building wealth. And sometimes it's not directly speaking to someone who's going to teach you how to invest, but teaching you about how to approach and take risks. But I want to specifically come up with step-by-step things that people can do. And so I'm trying to find more and more guests that have advice on things specifically about building wealth and not, you know, as well as giving us these life skills that we can draw from. But man, Ron Aguilar is someone who's done that. The things that really stand out to me from this conversation, and it's very timely, like I said, because I'm thinking, do I want to quit doing this real estate photography thing? Do I want to try to sell the business? Do I want to shut it down? Do I want to try to find photographers to do all my photo shoots for me? And that in itself seems like a lot of work and juggling. So anyways, those are the things that are going through my mind. Just to give you some context, as I'm editing this interview I did weeks and weeks ago, it was really good because I was starting to feel like, man, this guy's doing it. He's doing real estate photography full time. I still don't think that's something I want to do full time. Not that there's anything wrong with doing that full time. It just doesn't seem to be what drives me. But I've enjoyed the process. It's been almost 5 years that I've been doing real estate photography as a side hustle. And it starts to kind of feel like a lot over a period of time, starts to wear you out. The things that I learned from him, though, was about the patience in building a business. One of the things I really liked that he said is, you know, making clients happy is not about fulfilling every demand. And that's something I'm learning now is, okay, what if I don't quit the business, but I back off and say, I'm only going to offer times on my schedule, certain days of the week. I'm not going to be giving up weekends. I'm not giving up Friday nights. I'm not going to miss out on every opportunity to be with my kids and put them in bed. And so I decided I'm only going to offer certain days that I even offer photo shoots. And that might lose me clients. And that's going to be okay because that's what I need to gain more balance in life. Balance is so huge. It's not about always hustling and pushing and driving ourselves so hard, because that is not a fulfilling life, as if all we're always pushing, exhausting ourselves. We need to have time to recuperate mentally and physically, emotionally, all these things. So that was something that really stood out to me speaking with him that was relevant to what I'm going through currently. And really just finding a passion and ideas and systems that work, finding ways to be more efficient, to free up time. These are things I've been working on. And I've done some great things to free up time with my photography business. But then I said, the more I freed up time, the more I realized I like having that time. And I thought, maybe I want all the time back. So that's where I'm at. But really something that he said is, you know, a certain point comes where you might be burning the candle at both ends. You have to ask yourself, do I want to keep doing this? Is this sustainable? And as he said that, as I'm editing this interview, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I need to hear right now. And you might be in a similar situation, or you might need to realize that a really good way to approach building a business is doing it as a side hustle and building it to a certain size and then saying it's time to make a choice. Do I go for it full time with this side thing, or do I let it go, or do I do something else? You know, there might be a time that comes where you want to find a more sustainable path forward. And that's where I'm at. And he said, both are good options. You don't have to do either. You're not a failure if you decide, you know what, this isn't serving me like it used to, and it's time to move on. You're not a failure if you decide to continue doing it like you're doing it now and just saying, I'll just make it work for a while longer. And you're not a failure if you let go of whatever other thing till you can pursue this full time. We all make commitments in our lives, and it's okay to adjust those commitments. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I'm quitting this, or I'm going to do that because I've decided that's what's best for me and my family and for my career and for my happiness. It's okay to change priorities and change commitments as long as we do it, you know, with respect. And so those are things I'm gaining from this, and I hope you gain similar things too. One of the things I've done to free up my mental capacity is I don't do as many episodes of this podcast. I don't record as many of my quick dives, which I really enjoy doing, but it just takes more of that time. But this is the stuff that's been on my mind, and I wanted to share it with you. So this is kind of like a pseudo quick dive as an intro to this episode. But man, I love speaking with Ron. He's such a great guy. He's the best. I hope you enjoy it. If you have questions or want to add to the conversation, please email me at nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. But really, please subscribe to this episode or to the show and rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, or if there's an option to rate and review wherever you do listen. And please tell someone about the podcast if you find it useful so that it can spread and more people can gain from it. And I can get some feedback and hopefully find what's the thing that makes you want to listen. What are the episodes that have helped you? And which ones have you thought, oh, I can skip this one? I want to know what works, what doesn't, and what information and in which types of conversations mean the most, and which ones you'd like to hear that maybe you haven't heard yet. So anyways, thanks so much for listening. It means a lot when anyone gains something from this. Every single person that gains something from this is why I do this. I don't care if it's one person or 1,000, whatever it can be or will be. I love the process, and I love hearing from you, and I love knowing that it made a difference. So thank you so much for listening. Enjoy my conversation with Ron Aguilar. From, I need to mention, his business is Utah Valley Videos. He does real estate photography, videography, luxury homes. And he does all kinds of homes, but he specializes in luxury homes, and he's really talented. So check him out at UtahValleyVideos.com, and I will put the link in the show notes. Welcome to No Better Time, a financial journey with me, Phil Salter, as I learn about finances and investing. Join me and we can grow together towards a bright financial future, because there's no better time than the present to get moving on your financial goals. Welcome to No Better Time. I'm Phil Salter, and I'm so privileged to be here today with Ron Aguilar. Now, this name may sound familiar to you if you listen to previous episodes. Ron, you've come up a couple times. Oh, I think, man, you may have probably listened to one of them where I talk about you. I don't know how you feel about that.
It's all good, man. It's all
good. It's all good. Ron, if you haven't listened, or just as a reminder, he is the owner of a company called Utah Valley Videos, and he does real estate photography. And would you call it videography or cinematography?
Videography. I think cinematographers are more for those guys that are actually making movies.
Yeah, I would say so. But, you know, if we want to sound fancy, yeah, we can go to the cinema and watch your videos.
Play it on there.
Yeah. But he is someone who's been he's definitely been a mentor to me. Reached out to me. We're from a similar area, the same neighborhood. He does something that I do on the side as real estate photography. And he went out of your way to help me. And that really that impressed me and surprised me on a certain level, seeing how I'm someone you could see as potentially as competition. I'm not saying I'm necessarily on your level. You do this full time. This is your full time thing. But in your mind, it wasn't, hey, there's only so much to go around. It was more like the more the merrier. That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know who my competition is, because I'm not trying to compete with anybody. I only care mm-hmm. about my product and that my client gets what they want. So I don't know. I don't look at it as like this competitive market. I see it as like, man, this is what I love to do. This is like my thing. This is my jam.
So it kind of was exciting, maybe, that I was someone who was interested in something you cared about and wanted to learn.
I'm always looking for people to geek out about what I mm-hmm. like to geek out about. And I guess there's Facebook groups and stuff, but there's not usually someone right around the corner that I can geek out about. Like,
the stuff yeah, like it's to true. About. I feel like when you go to certain when you go to certain Facebook groups, in fact, we're both part of the same one. That's kind of what we already knew each other. And then I asked a question or said something and you spoke up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know you were in here. I knew that you did real estate photography. We kind of talked briefly about it in the past, but there's kind of this posturing that goes on sometimes in these groups where it's like, I got to look smart. I got to show that I'm like, you got this certain attitude about me, and you have to like be on guard. You can't be vulnerable in these groups, because if you post something that doesn't look quite right, people are going to jump on
lynched.
It, right?
You will get lynched.
Yes. And so, but with you, it was like, hey, I'll reach out to you. You said that in the group. You called me. We talked for like 45 minutes, maybe longer. And it was the first time I'd really had geeked out about something that I've been doing for 4 years on the side. And it was validating, because I was telling you about the different phases I've gone through. You're like, yep, you're going through the normal stuff. You're learning this, you're learning that. So it was pretty cool and validating and very much insightful. And then when I shadowed you, learned even more, the things I hadn't even considered that I could do differently and more efficiently. It's benefited me in so many ways. So
well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, man. So, and I brought you up enough that I wanted to talk to you about kind of your journey of building this business, making it a full-time thing, but kind of maybe some things learning along the way. And your wife is a big partner with you on this. You guys work together very closely, which I think is super inspiring and cool that you could work like that together. But one of the things I kind of like to ask some questions to kind of get things rolling. And one of them is, what was your relationship to money when you were a child? And how do you feel you've seen that evolve as you've, you know, become an adult?
My relationship to money as a child, I mean, if it was Tooth Fairy or Grandma money, or in my case, Lolo and Lola money, or like maybe a whatever little bit of allowance that I got, it was just precious, you know. We just didn't have much of it, and so I would try to save and scrimp whatever I could, whatever lunch money I could, to like buy whatever it was that I wanted. And mm-hmm. so I don't know, I definitely like knew what I wanted if it was something. Like, I remember I wanted like a Super Soaker one time. I really wanted a Super Soaker.
I remember those days.
Yeah, man, those Super Soakers were so rad. And I was like, man, I got to have a Super Soaker. And they were like 20 or 30 bucks. And I was like, man, what do I need to like do to get that Super Soaker? And we just didn't have the money, and I couldn't ask my parents for it. And so I remember I just had to like scrimp, save whatever I had. So money was, it just wasn't there. And so it was very precious. whenever I.
So did you have to go externally to get money, like go rake some leaves next door, things like that, or?
Yeah, so it's lawns. So I see lawns as dollar bills. So I think of like, how many lawns do I need to do in order to get the super soaker? That's how.
So the super soaker is whatever, 20 lawns or whatever.
Yes, about, yeah, it's maybe like less, 14.3 lawns to get my
down to a science. That's really cool. Would you say it kind of leads into some of the other questions I like to ask is, what was your first way to make, you made money? It sounds like mowing lawns was mowing, maybe your first way.
Yeah. I would say like the first job I ever had was scooping ice cream. It was like scooping ice cream. And I just remember, man, it was an awful job. It was like all of my friends on Friday night would be bringing their dates, and I was just like wearing my apron and scooping their ice cream for their date, you know?
Like you worked at like a Baskin Robbins kind of place, you mean? Or
it was in Texas. It was called, I can't remember it now. The name escapes me, but it was this little ice cream parlor. And
so that was like an official job though, right? Like you worked at an ice cream parlor, scooping ice cream, they're on dates, yeah. And you're like, I'm here on Friday night scooping ice cream.
That's what I do.
But do you look back and regret that, or are you glad that you were doing that on a Friday?
No, I love that because I remember. So every now and then, like a lot of the elderly would come to that, and you could see them going on their dates too. And those were the guys that would always tip me like a nickel or a dime. They would give me a nickel. I'm like, this is weird. Like, why am I getting a nickel? But then one of them approached me, and like, I remember I was sweeping, and I was like, I had like this method of like, all right, I'm going to wipe the tables down first, like wipe from the top down, get everything onto the floor, and then sweep all that out. And then I would rinse, repeat, do the exact same thing for the next table. And one of the couples approached me, and they were like, you're like going to be an engineer or something like that, because you're doing the exact same motion rhythm on each single table. And that's always stuck with me, that I was like, oh, I work in patterns. I'm like a robot almost. Like I'm robotic. When I figure out a process that works, then I made it good, then I continuously repeat it.
Does that kind of feels good? Do you find yourself when you're doing something that's kind of repetitive, when you kind of realize another way to like tighten it up?
Oh yeah, it's the best.
Because you're like, oh, look at that, even smoother.
It's like, I just saved myself like 0.5 seconds on, because I do this, and not over time that comes. All that time,
and the fewer steps, the better, right? Like, in fact, it's really interesting. That's something I learned when I was shadowing you, is how you were the tripod you're using. I was like, wow, that's just way better to like quickly switch things, like, you know, get the level and everything. And also I used to always use my autofocus, and I sit there like holding it, you know, I'm like,
I sit there,
and then I watch you, and you're like, I'm like, I just felt like I want to make sure it's focused, you know? And it's like, there's times where I was fighting the autofocus. Like if it was a dark room, and I'm like, it's just, I look back, I'm like, why was I wasting time with this? Like, it just seems so obvious now. You never use autofocus. And I was like, oh, you don't use autofocus. You're like, no. And sometimes you can do the digital zoom, make it big, tweak it a little bit. And I'm like, I've been doing that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, just push the shutter. Anyway, so it's really, it's a good feeling to kind of find those efficiencies. So they approached you, they said, hey, you're going to be an engineer. That kind of wakened something up in you that you kept
with. I thought I was going to be an engineer. I literally thought I was going to be an engineer. Well, my dad's an engineer, so I guess I should be an engineer. So,
but those skills, you know, could, maybe that's like the obvious thing to them, but that's useful in everything. Like as you do things, you do repetitive type of things, photo shoots, videos.
I like,
you come up with systems, right?
I like systems and processes. Like I like formulas that work. And so that's what I think, that's what they were trying to tell me, you know, or at least when they shared that compliment. I think that's what struck a chord in me, is like, I'm a formulas guy. I'm a, you know, I like to see things from point A to point B and then equals C, you know?
Yeah. And so would this Utah Valley Videos, is this your first business, your first entrepreneurial endeavor, or did it start earlier in your life?
It started earlier for sure. Like I've been working with videos for as long as I can remember. Straight out of college, I started working at a news station. And then my art director there, after a couple of months, was like, oh, you'll never be an art director. It takes like years to become an art director. And then I was like, challenge accepted. And so I quit. It was a really good job. I think I'd been there for like maybe a year and a half, and then I quit. And then I moved to Alabama, took a job with another station there. And then I found that with every time that I would quit, that they would give me like another big raise. And so I would just hop the nation to different news stations, give them my same exact spiel, and then I'd get another raise. And so I would keep doing that. And I was like a motion graphic artist. I was a motion graphic designer. Then I was a manager for motion graphics. Then I became an art director. I was an art director for the Giants, A's, Warriors, and Sharks in the Bay Area. And then, and at that time I was like, oh man, motion graphics is my thing. I'm going to be doing 3D, 2D motion graphics. That's my jam. And every now and then I would maybe take on a wedding, or maybe I would do some photos for a friend. And I was like, yeah, I don't really like video. I don't really like photos, or I don't really like videos. And I just never took an interest in it. I would always pass by the editor bays at the news stations, and I was like, I'm never going to be one of those guys. Like, those guys look like they got the worst part of the job. Like, they're like the bottom of the barrel. And lo and behold, like, after I had like, gotten out of the broadcast industry, I went into an ad agency, and I was like their one man band. They actually kind of abused it because I was literally the only employee. And so I was the After Effects guy. I was their Final Cut guy. I was their Premiere guy. I was their videographer. I was their photographer. I was their green screen guy. I literally was every hat under the book. And it was not cool. So I quit that. And then I actually started a business. I tried to start the business in California, and it failed miserably because I wasn't in the right mindset. I kept thinking like, this isn't going to survive. We're not going to make it. That was always my mindset, was we are not going to make it. Like, it wasn't about my business. It was, we will not make it. There's no way. This is impossible. This is not possible. Those were the thoughts and impressions that I always ran through my brain, because I was like, there's no way. And then what happened? Well, it failed.
And you're like, see, I knew it. Self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah,
I called it. And and I was almost proud of myself for calling it. I was like, see, there's no way. Like, how can anyone do their own business? And so that was my first real attempt at like trying to do the business. We like pulled out a big loan. And then I was so scared of this loan that we paid it right back. And with whatever interest we did, it was like almost like 2 weeks after that we pulled the loan, that we took all the money from the loan and we literally paid it back.
Because you were just so worried about this hanging over.
I was that scared and that stressed about the about that I just couldn't do it. It was eating at me so much, and so I just didn't have the belief in myself. And when we came and we moved out here to Utah, I was working for another company. They failed, and then another company. And then there was like legal issues that went really bad, and they went south really fast. And then after that, I was like, you know what? Like, what now? And my awesome wife, like, she was like, you have so much talent, and you should really do this. And she really built me up and helped me build my confidence, because I did not have the confidence to run a business. And it wasn't until like I always knew I had the skills. I just didn't have the confidence to be able to do it. And she really bolstered that confidence in me. And once I started joining some networking groups and started doing it, and I got my first client, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And at that time we were called Budget Videos. And because I remember there was a Budget plumbing truck that pulled up beside me. And I was like, man, I bet that fool gets so many like calls just because like, oh, plumbing, cheap. I'm gonna go with that guy. And I was like, we're gonna buy two domains. We're gonna buy budgetvideos.net and we're going to hold on to that for 6 months. And then right after that, I'm going to tell everybody that we're rebranding. And but little do they know, I'd already bought UtahValleyVideos.com. And the strategy was let the cheap win first, just to get the name out there quick. And then we rebranded and we changed our DBA into Utah Valley Videos. And it's been great ever since.
Wow, that's kind of, it's pretty cool that you kind of had that plan from the offset.
Just by having, I don't know if that I would have thought truck pull up beside me.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it seems like it was almost on a certain level out of necessity. Like you had to think of something to do. It wasn't the first time you started a business. Did you like quit a job that you had and say, "I'm going to do this"? And so you were like, oh, I had that security and now I gave it away. And like you were, it's all in your head, right?
The first time was because I was miserable. I was like being abused by that company.
Mm. Oh, that's right. It was after that. So you had this negative experience, but you kind of had in your head that even though it was bad, but was it so bad? Like maybe you started regretting it. Like I had the security.
Yeah.
And it was a mental game.
It really was. It was, it's totally mental. And you know, I mean, when we moved out here and I was working for another company and then they tanked and then I got this other job with this other company and I was paying more and I was like, this is a great job. But little did I know that they were doing all this shady McShade stuff. And that went under really fast. It was a push came to shove. It was a sink or swim. And I could have, you know, we could have probably found another job, but which, you know what, I did find a Band-Aid job. I found a Band-Aid job and the guy was awesome. He was so cool. He like helped me out. It really helped make ends meet actually. I'm so grateful for that job. And it was during that time that I had a lot of time to reflect as I was like doing this monotonous job. I had a lot of time to reflect and just be like, man, I am talented. I got 15 years of like hardcore video X, Y, and Z underneath my belt. And it like all of a sudden just started like emerging like the self confidence of like, I should be doing more. I am mm-hmm. more than this. And I'm going to do this. And that's when it started. That's like, you know, that combined with my wife just being like a number one cheerleader, mm-hmm. it like all of a sudden, like it just like kind of grew inside of me that, man, I can do this. I can literally, we can do this.
I think anybody can learn from this. Cause I mean, what you might call a failure with this first business attempt is really, I guarantee there's things you learned from that. Even if it's like, okay, this time I'm doing it differently in this way, but you had to go through certain processes to start that first business, that first attempt that I'm sure you learned things.
Yeah.
And so every failure is not really a failure. It's just one step closer to gaining confidence, skills, experience. And so you're better off for that first experience. And here you are today, fully like self and like you have your own business. It keeps you busy. You're providing for your family.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And you have a partnership with your wife, a cheerleader and partner. And that's something that you focus on doing a great, great work. And she kind of does like a lot of business side and financial stuff. Is that correct? You kind of work together.
Yeah. She handles every financial aspect of the business. In fact, I try not to ever know the finances of the business. Cause I just don't want to know. Not out of ignorance is bliss, but it's more of my focus. My focus is my product, which is these videos. And that's all I think about. And what she takes care of is make sure that, you know, our rent gets like our rent for the office gets paid. Our mortgage gets paid here at home. Like, you know, all of our bills and she takes, and she handles that like a champ. And then she handles all of our investments and all of our equipment expenditures or like anytime that we have to like buy another camera and I'm like, please, we got to get this other camera. And she's like, well, wait till this next quarter. Mm-hmm. And we can take a look and see where we were, you know, and like, let me check the books on this. And, you know, she really knows how to keep it afloat. Because, you know, as a new business owner, I always feel like, oh, no, we gotta meet every demand of the client, which is not true. You gotta make the client happy. So that's two totally different things. And that was like a really, really cool thing. And you know, with her handling that side of the business, like, just leaves me to just be creative, which is all I ever want. I just want to, like, it's like I color in a coloring book every day. That's literally like what I do. And financially, just to be frank, I've never made this much money ever. Like, of all my different jobs, and I've had some really awesome jobs, our business has done better than that. Mm-hmm. And so,
and it's probably, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, nah, and it's just crazy to think that, I don't know. It's just crazy to think that. I think that's just amazing. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that, you know, we could not just match what I made and what I thought was my greatest job when I was working for someone, but exceed it by a lot. So,
yeah, I think we don't realize our potential so often. Like, it's so funny. I'm sure you've been through the experience when you were young and newly married and you think, man, if I could just make what maybe it was 20,000 or, you know, maybe it was this dream of like whatever you're making at a time, like, man, if I can make 40,000, you know, we really hold ourselves back mentally. But seeing what you can do when you find a passion and you find like a system that works, like, you focus on the things that make you money, and that's being creative and making clients happy. That's your moneymaker, right? That's what works for you. And that's just something I kind of learned from you that I've been trying to incorporate is, what are ways that I can, because you don't have to be a one man band, right? You don't have to do everything yourself.
Yeah, you don't.
Where can I outsource these tasks so that I can be more efficient and focus on what actually makes me money? Like, for instance, editing my photos. I now outsource the editing of my photos to someone else. Originally, I used to think I got to do it all myself, and that costs money. And if I have to pay money to somebody to do something, then I'm losing money.
Right.
Actually, no, I'm freeing up a bunch of time, which is freeing, it's making me way more profitable,
exactly,
and way happier and able to do more. And that's something you kind of helped me realize. And that's one of the things that originally kind of got us talking again, was me asking about this idea of, I've been thinking about outsourcing my editing. Ooh, I don't know if I should. I don't know if I can find somebody who's good enough and can do it fast enough. Guess what? I found someone better than me and faster than I could ever have dreamed.
Yeah.
And for a price that's like incredible. So working with your wife, she does the things that work for your business. You do things that work for your business. And I'm sure you have different things that you found, tools and things that, hey, this investment here pays off in this way, right? Like, have you been able to continue to find ways to do, like, more?
Yeah. I mean, we've now, like, we pay good money for like a bookkeeper or for a tax person. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll pay top dollar for that. But like, we know where to allocate our financial. We really should be putting money more towards this.
Mm.
Like our camera gear. You know, I used to cheap out on a lot of gear, which you still can, but there's certain things that I'm like, nah, this really needs to be a more premium product.
Yeah.
And as we
you learn what matters.
Exactly. But like a lot of my glass on a lot of my cameras, they're over 10 years old because it's still great glass. So it's not like,
yeah,
I'm not going to
for those that no, not photographers. That's lenses.
Oh, yeah.
The lenses on the
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, that's great. And so you kind of learn these things. And so, what would you say for someone who is considering like kind of striking out on their own? Maybe they're deciding to do it in pieces, you know, maybe they're not quite ready to take the leap, but they're like, for me, for instance, I have a side business. Maybe one day I decide, well, why don't I go for it and make this a full-time gig? I know that there's, like, learning from you, there's plenty to go around. There's enough out there and opportunity. What's your advice for someone that's considering that? Like, what are the pitfalls that they could look for, or mental things that you could give them, little nuggets maybe?
You know, I think, you know, like, doing the side hustle first, I think is a great thing. I think just being able to win those first couple of clients and then buy something to get that little bit of reward that goes to either towards your business or something that you wanted. I like to see it full circle, because you worked for something and then it was like this reward of like, well, you were able to do that. And now it's like, well, now I want more. I want to do it a little bit more. So instead of getting one client, I'm going to get two clients, and it'll get to the point where you can't burn the midnight oil and still do a full-time job. And at that point you'll have to make a decision. Like, well, do I want to keep burning the candle at both ends, or do I want to change my quality of life by either getting rid of the side hustle and just staying here, or getting rid of that and doing the side hustle as not a side hustle, but my full hustle? And both are not right or wrong. I think both are good options, quite honestly. But for those who are really thinking that, like, this is what I want to do, like, I want to do it, then I really think the first thing is mental, quite frankly. If there's anything I've learned, it's you can't do it until you say you can do it. There is so much power in what you believe in. I meet a lot of people, like, I network all the time, and there's a lot of people that are a lot of talk or wants to be a friend with me to be able to increase the bottom line. I just find that there is value in being genuine and being real and being honest. If you're going to do it, be very real about it. Don't be something that you're not. You know, the skills will come. The skills, those are attained throughout the whole time. You know, I was looking at my videos from last year versus how I do it this year. And I'm like, wow, we've made so many changes just in 365 days, like drastic changes, you know, drastic, huge changes. And I'm so proud of it. But if I was telling myself a year ago, like, hey man, you're not doing it right, you should be doing it this way, you know, where's the growth in that? And I'm proud of those videos from last year because those challenges were different. They were more pandemic oriented, whereas our challenges this year are different from last year. You know, now it's more quality oriented. And I don't know, I feel like a lot of people are like, now that I don't have that skill yet, or I need to learn this thing, or I need to. No, you don't. You don't. Those things will come. Whether it's through time or if it's push comes to shove, you will learn it. You will figure it out. And trust me, like, just as a person will cram for the test the night before, you will figure it out when it comes down for your business and it's for your family. You will figure it out. Trust me.
That's really good advice. And that makes a lot of sense. And as you kind of look back and you see your growth, that's really a cool experience. And it doesn't mean you were so bad before. It's just be grateful for the opportunity when you're doing something and you're able to continue to learn and grow and find ways to improve. What a gift and wonderful experience it is to learn and grow.
Yeah.
And sometimes taking on these challenges is a great opportunity to do that. And not everybody is necessarily going to go the path of creating their own business, but there's going to be challenges in wherever you are to improve and to make those leaps. And whether it be, I'm going to try investing in a different way to build wealth, but look for those opportunities and take them head on and be okay with failing. Because like you were saying, what you believe is a huge part of what you will achieve, if you will. There's no guarantees, right? There's always risks. But man, do you want to increase your chances of success? You want to enjoy the journey? Like, believe in yourself, right?
It really is. Like, I can't tell people enough how it is a mental game. And if you can't believe in yourself, just as I did in my first attempt, you will self-fulfill that prophecy. It will fail.
And what you were saying earlier actually really struck me about, you know, you may not know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And I look back, and the first time my brother was my first photography client, at least for real estate photography. And he's like, hey, he just became a new real estate agent. He's like, hey, you do photography. You know, I've done some different things. And he's like, when I get my first listing, you want to be my photographer? And I was like, well, I don't know. Let me do some research about like, what's the right lens. And I had that, I was so nervous the first time, and you just kind of do your best. And oh, guess what? It came together. I look back at those photos. Oh, they're awful, but it was the best I could do then. And I look back, like you said, it was back like a few months ago, like I'm continually finding myself improving. So any challenge you take, like, you don't have to lie and act like you're something you're not, like you also mentioned. I like that. You don't have to like posture and be like, oh yeah, I've been doing this forever. I know what I'm doing. But then you look back and like, I look back at myself. I'm like, dude, I've done hundreds of photo shoots. That's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that means that on some level, I am an expert. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's okay to own that if you do it, like if you're being true.
No, you know what I mean? And don't be afraid to say you're the authority on something that you really know something about. Like, because
yeah,
that's your competitive advantage. That's what everybody, you know, there's going to be a lot of other photography businesses. So I always ask them, well, what's your competitive advantage? What makes you stand apart from, you know, photographer B from photographer C? You know, why, what's your advantage? And, you know, I will say that we are the authority on how to do luxury homes, you know, how to properly video residential real estate versus how to properly video luxury custom homes. I feel that we are the authority on that. And so, and that's a bold statement to make, and it's not out of pride. It's out of the fact that we have like shot quite a few.
Yeah.
And we've learned from mistakes, and we've figured them out, and we've tweaked, and we've tested, and we've tried, and we feel that we have a really solid formula now. And I'm all about formulas that work.
Yeah, man. We know that. Way back to the ice cream scooping days.
That's right.
And the table cleaning days. Man, thanks so much for taking the time, you know, to talk through this stuff. And I think you're really inspiring, and certainly for me, just a great example of giving to those around you and being, you know, willing to share your knowledge. And so I think that's just something that inspires me. I want to do that for others even more so since interacting with you more lately. If I just want to encourage people to like take this example. If something, think in your mind right now, if you're listening to this, is there something that you're afraid to do or try? Be honest with yourself. Don't just tell yourself, I don't want to do that. No. Are you just too scared to try? And just try to do that thing that scares you and intimidates you on some level. Take the first step at least, and then see what happens, and then take the next step. Because that's what greatness comes from, is taking those step-by-step efforts and failing, succeeding, either way. It's all gaining something. So
exactly.
Thanks again, Ron. It's just been a pleasure. So if people want to learn more about you, they can go to UtahValleyVideos.com, correct?
Yep, UtahValleyVideos.com. Or you can just hop on our Instagram at UtahValleyVideos, and then you can find us on Facebook as well. Facebook.com.
And see all the good stuff they've been doing. And just seeing your work, like I found myself already doing better with my videos that I've been doing. I'm like, oh, that was really good how he did that. So you're the best, man. Thanks again.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks again for having me on the show.
Thanks for listening. You can support the No Better Time podcast by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and selecting the support button. But the best support you can give is by listening and engaging. I want to hear from you. Send your thoughts, questions, and topic ideas to nobettertime.podcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a voice message by going to anchor.fm/nobettertime and clicking the message button just below the podcast description. Please subscribe wherever you listen and rate and review if that's an option. Check out the video version of the podcast on YouTube by searching No Better Time Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe there as well. And if this episode would help someone, don't forget to share it with them and let them know about the podcast.